Well, it's 7 o'clock. It's Tuesday. That normally means that it's time for Joshing Around with Josh. I am, of course, Josh, but tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. I've got some special guests. We're going to try to shine a little bit of light on Coleman and feature some members of our community and find out exactly what it is they do. We're going to call this section Spotlight on Coleman. Our first guests are your very own Coleman Electric Co-op. We've got Brian from Coleman Electric Co-op, and I'll let him introduce himself and some of the cohorts he's brought along with us.
Brian. All right, good deal. Thanks. Yeah, my name is Brian Lacey. I'm the communications manager at Coleman Electric Cooperative. I've been at the co-op for about 11 years, and handle all of the day-to-day communications, member-facing stuff, public relations. I like to say when the power goes out and the radio or TV stations want to know what's happening, they call my cell phone.
Right.
And keep up with social media and our Alabama Living magazine, stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun. The two guys that I've brought with me tonight, Todd Scheel and Brandon Miner, are both linemen here at the co-op. And as we're talking, I'll let them tell a little bit more about their career and what they've done. But yeah, they've got the superhero jobs. They're the ones that go out on a day to day. It may not be the most glamorous job, maintaining the power lines and doing that stuff. But yeah, when storms come through and people's power go out, these are the guys that go out in the middle of it.
And the guys that we definitely want to see as a customer myself. I'm super happy to see you guys roll up only when I need you. Right. Right. Well, I'm glad the three of you have joined it, and I appreciate you taking the time. We can't talk about power without bad weather discussion, right? And everything that's going on in the Panhandle in Florida, and kind of the first point in bringing you guys in here. We would really like to know how do you facilitate helping out in a situation like that, or 7 years ago we're looking at Coleman suffering those tornadoes. How does it change when it's your own hometown?
Sure. I'll tell you a little bit of just how we coordinate it.
Sure.
And then I'll let these guys tell you about what it's actually like to be in the middle of that and what they have to do. So we're fortunate most of the times, even in the case of Hurricane Michael just a couple weeks ago, where comparatively speaking, we didn't get a whole lot of notice. I mean, that storm kind of popped up on a Sunday and made landfall on Wednesday.
Right.
A lot of times with hurricanes, they're out there in the Atlantic and come into the Caribbean, and we're hearing about it on the news for a week or 10 days in advance. This was pretty quick to come up like that. When we see something like that coming, obviously we're far enough inland for hurricanes that we don't usually get a lot of direct impact. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the co-ops across the southeast that are either on the Atlantic coast or the Gulf coast, they start making plans well in advance.
Okay.
And what we will do is we have a statewide office, Alabama Rural Electric Association.
Okay.
They are the office that all 22 electric co-ops in the state are represented by. Each state has its own statewide office that represents the co-ops in that state. And what they will do is our statewide offices really coordinate that recovery effort, and they start well in advance. Mm-hmm. So in the case of these guys here went down to Wiregrass Electric, which is down around the Dothan area, Houston County, the far southeastern corner of the state. And I believe like on that Monday before the hurricane hit, they were requesting 100 linemen.
Oh, gosh.
That they knew kind of what they were anticipating, what the damage might be, what the repairs were going to require. So they requested to our statewide 100 linemen. So our statewide office then reaches out to all of the other co-ops in the state and the co-ops in surrounding states in Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, and makes that request to their statewide office. So that really helps facilitate it, because instead of it sort of being every man for their own selves, where every co-op is calling every other co-op, you just send your request to the statewide, and then they send it out. In that case, they reached out to all the other co-ops, and our operations guys responded and said, yeah, we'll send 2 5-man crews plus a warehouse worker to help you. So these guys knew before that storm even made landfall that they were going to be loading up their trucks and heading down that way.
And see, as a customer that knows nothing about that, you see it on the news and you assume that you guys up and decided, like, hey, we're going to go to Florida for, you know, however many weeks it takes, out of the kindness of your heart. And you really don't ever think about electric co-ops being connected. You know, we've got one in Coleman and they're the only one, and y'all only ever deal with Coleman. But that's interesting that it reaches out. So what was that like? To go down there, I assume you were probably down there before the storm hit?
No, we actually, I think we left the day after it hit. We went down on Thursday morning, left at about 4:30, got down there about lunch, mm-hmm. And we met up with some of their employees, got a bird dog, which is the guy that shows us around.
Right.
Where we need to go, what's tore up, what we need to fix. And then we loaded up trucks and got started. Shortly after we got there,
just pretty much replacing everything, right?
That's it. I think the line we were on, Todd, was about 10 miles. About 10 miles, the line we started on. It took us about 3 days. Not just our crews, but there were other cooperatives working along with us to get just the three phase back on. And then most of the week to get the rest of the customers on that line.
Sure. So you're probably seeing several states worth of workers. Do you keep in touch with any of the people you run into, or
a lot of them some of us had worked with before, mm-hmm. Before we had come to work at the co-op. So we kind of got spread out in different places. So a lot of familiar faces, a lot of new faces. At nights we're all pretty much just jumbled up together.
Oh, really?
I think it was a little bit. We wound up, started out with a little over 100 where we were staying, and by the end of the week, I think they said there were 220 guys.
Wow.
In one room full of cots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you're talking about so much space down there. If you've seen any of the footage, you know and you guys have been down there, so you know. But looking at that footage, I couldn't imagine, because there were some places where, you know, the poles weren't there. You had to start fresh for everything.
There was a lot of it. A lot of the places we went, there was just nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, just wasted. And where the guys are at now, we've got another crew that's a little bit further south than we were. And, I mean, they're saying the same thing. It's just,
really.
Well, yeah, the guys that are down there now are at – they're in Florida at Gulf Coast Electric Co-op, which is in the Panama City area. And we were talking in the parking lot before we walked over here. Just to give people a comparison, you mentioned the tornadoes here in 2011. We've got about, at the time, we had around 40,000 meters that are here in Coleman County and the part of Winston County we serve. We had about 16,000 people that were out of power as a result of the tornadoes.
Yeah.
Everybody was out of power for about a day when TVA's transmission into our area got knocked out. Hmm. And once they got that restored, we had about 16,000 people that we had to go fix.
Right.
Took us about 2 weeks to get everybody back on. And we had between linemen and right-of-way crews, we had about 300 people.
That's crazy.
That came from 7 different states around here to help us.
So you mentioned, not to cut you off, but you mentioned that you, I'm sure for those tornadoes, you put in the request. It was almost reactive as fast as that came. But when you put in the request, these guys still get paid and then compensated. Who keeps track of all of the expenses and that kind of thing? Does that fall back on?
Sure, no, that gets handled by our accounting staff, our HR staff. They're going to keep track. And so when these guys go somewhere or someone comes here to help us, they're kind of treated like they're our employee when they're here. And for the most part, and this is where that the accounting side comes in. It's so important with the documentation that a lot of that's going to get reimbursed by FEMA.
Okay.
So we've got to keep just meticulous records on how many people are here, how many hours they're working, what they're doing, and it's no different. They're going to get paid based on what their hourly rate at their normal job.
Okay.
Work, how many hours a day do y'all work when you do stuff like that?
17, 18.
Oh, wow.
About right, Todd.
So you're really putting in that time. And that goes back to it. I guess we weren't completely wrong when we assumed that you were doing it out of the kindness of your heart. Because I'm sure under right circumstances, you do that here. But your day in, day out, when there's not storms or something terrible happens, you know, it's probably not 18-hour days.
No. Typically 8, unless we're on call.
There you go.
But just to give that point of where our guys are at right now, that Gulf Coast Power, like I said, we had 16,000 people out for about 2 weeks until we had everybody restored. I just looked at the update that Gulf Coast Power posted tonight. They've got about 20,000 people on their whole system.
Wow.
And as of today, almost 3 weeks after that storm, they still have 16,000 people out of power.
That's incredible.
I think we had heard some of the estimates were from that co-op. They had just that co-op had about 10,000 poles that needed to be replaced.
That's ridiculous. And so you guys have been down there. You've seen it. How long will it be before they're back to 100% power down there, do you think? How long do you think they'll be working at it?
I mean, that's hard to say. A lot of that just depends on the area.
Yeah.
If it's a place that's more populated, you know.
Are we talking months?
That's tough.
I had seen a story this week where the governor of Florida had stated that all power would be restored by the end of November.
Oh, gosh.
And I have since seen responses from people in our industry that are saying that that's a very bold estimate at best.
I know there's some people that's been in there said it would take weeks, if not over a month, just to get you know, the trunk lines built back into Mexico Beach.
Which is why you kind of want to have this kind of spot. Is as a customer, I'm thinking, I can't make it until the end of November without power. But at the same time, these guys are putting in 18 hours of work. You know, that's huge on y'all. And great that you would do it. But at the same time, like, that's crazy to think about. You know, it may be closer to Christmas before somebody gets power down there.
Yeah. And the thing that I think we all found living here is that you know, it'll be years before things get back to what was normal.
Right.
Before that hurricane hit. But really, if you're trying to fix your home or get your business back up and going, you can't do anything until the power comes back
on.
So you're just left sort of sitting there, or, you know, hopefully you've had someplace else, you have family or friends or somewhere that you can go stay with, because there's not a whole lot you can do. And I mean, I guess the only bright side to it is it's not the middle of July and it's not 1,000% humidity and 100 degrees every day at the beach right now. It would not be a place I would want to be.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Well, and we kind of talk about that. You're talking about an extended job here. And communication, if power poles were wiped out completely, then you're talking about, you know, phone lines aren't what they need to be. I'm sure cell reception is hit or miss, you know, depending if they sustained losses. What's the go-to communication between, like, your bird dog guy to everyone else?
When we go down there, which we had pretty decent cell phone reception, hit or miss, depending on where we're at.
Yeah.
But the bird dog and our foreman had really good contact. Now, the bird dog that was over us, he was seeing over 3 or 4 different crews,
five.
So he would run around, check on us all day, kind of see what needed to be done next, get with our foreman, and he would point us in the right direction. And then, I mean, we'd just keep moving.
So they were still leaning on cell phones?
Yes. Radio contact,
too.
They had some handheld two-way radios, too, that they would hand out to the foremen that was on their frequency. And then they were able to contact each other through radio.
Yeah.
And just to kind of explain the significance of that setup when we talk about a bird dog, that one of the neat things about the electric utility industry and the linemen is these guys in the training that they go through professionally. There are national standards for what linemen are trained to and for how the power infrastructure is built. So it doesn't matter if you're in Coleman, if you're in Panama City Beach, if you're in Washington State, it doesn't matter where it is in the country. If these guys climb up to the top of a pole
it's all going to be the same.
It's going to all be the same. So what you do when you go on a situation like this, or when we had the tornadoes here, is your local guys know how things are laid out on their system, mm-hmm. and they know the roads, they know where the power lines run. So you bring in these outside linemen, they know how to go to the top of the pole and get it wired up and right. put a transformer up there, and you use your local workers mm-hmm. to really be the guides that take okay. them where they need to go, and then those guys can be in radio communication with all each other.
Okay.
And they just take these visiting linemen that are there and turn them loose to okay. to get things rebuilt, because the construction is the same everywhere.
Everywhere. And that makes sense, because it seemed like, you know, forever ago that your industry really had a key on the whole communication, because everybody was working like a well-oiled machine. And then, you know, this has been going on forever. But if it's like you say, and there's a national standard, then that really helps out. So that's something we saw with the 9/11. They used FirstNet. I don't know if you're familiar. Can you tell me anything about that?
That's a first responders communication mm-hmm. thing, really, for police, fire, okay. EMS. We're not really plugged into that. Like you said, when they're down there, mm-hmm. they're using just radio communication okay. mostly. And really, day to day, even when they're here, that's how they're communicating back right. to the office. And then you've kind of got your cell phone as a secondary way of being able to call somebody at the office. You know that radio traffic can yeah. get pretty busy, so sometimes you can grab the cell phone and call in if you need to.
Yeah, and the radio traffic helps a lot with safety too, letting us know who's in certain areas, okay. so we're not working over the top of each other.
Right. Right.
Has a lot to do with safety as well as coordination. As
sure.
There's
sure.
a level when they're dealing with what they are right now, and you know that, I mean, there's no power anywhere. So at those beginning stages, they can kind of work with confidence just knowing, hey, I'm yep. going up here. There's, you know, nothing's connected.
Right, right.
But when you're in more of a situation like the tornadoes here, mm-hmm. where part of the system is down and you're just rebuilding it piece by piece, mm-hmm. you need to know before you get up to the top of that pole whether or not those wires sure, are sure. energized or not.
Absolutely.
And you may think that you're working on an area that's out of power, but just down the road there's another crew working, and they may have gotten their part just re-energized. Done. And so that's where that communication part comes in. That,
absolutely.
That when they get done, they radio in, and so then dispatch can let that next crew okay. know.
So you've always got, in that situation, you've always got someone, even at the home base, managing all of that. This seems like it continues to grow and grow and grow as teams get involved, and then, you know, cell phone guys have got to show up and build their towers and that kind of thing, so you can establish this. So in our community, who facilitates that part 100%? Like, who's at the top to make sure that, you know, someone's working dispatch and communicating with, you know, even in that situation, the Verizon guys or the AT&T guys, or what, is that you?
Yes, because whether it's your, you know, cell phone kind of has its own network,
mm-hmm.
But certainly your cable companies, and then just your landline telephone.
Yeah.
They're, you know, the power poles belong to the co-op.
Right, right.
And then anything else that's attached to that pole, mm-hmm. Those other companies work with us. So it's our poles. Right. The electricity takes the priority.
Absolutely.
And so then those guys can't really come in and do anything until to get their infrastructure back up.
Right. Right.
Until our guys have done their part.
And at the end of the day, they all want juice running to all of their equipment as well. So I'm sure they get out of the way. Well, to move kind of away from the disaster scenario. When you're not doing that, what is day to day in Coleman work like for y'all?
Wooden wire.
Maintenance mostly.
Maintenance.
New construction. Lake's been really busy lately.
Just throwing up the new stuff.
Yeah, building the new homes and pole replacements.
Right.
Change outs, maintenance, like he said. There's always something to be done.
Okay.
We've got 3,600 miles of power line.
That's crazy.
Just on Coleman Electric Co-op system.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, we have two utilities here. You've got Coleman Electric Co-op and Coleman Power Board.
Right.
And I always describe it to people, if you were to be in our dispatch center, we've got a huge map up on the wall, mm-hmm. And there's in right in the middle of Coleman, where the city of Coleman is, there's basically a little donut hole mm-hmm. that doesn't have anything as far as we show on it. Right. And that's the power boards okay. area that they handle. That's just really the city of Coleman proper and a few little yep. areas that go out from there. And then everything else everything. In Coleman County, plus basically the eastern half of Winston County.
Okay.
is our service territory. So, yeah, 3,600 miles of line, I think, is what right. we're up to so about right now.
So year-round, you're just replacing poles, you know, not including the new construction and yeah. you know, if somebody runs one down kind of thing. Interesting. And so you say maintenance. Not too long ago, there was a planned outage, I think it was last Wednesday, on part of 91. What was done in that? Explain a little bit of that to me.
So I'd say we're upgrading the system. So we have two different voltages in our system, 7,200 and 14,400. So most of that down there was 7,200, and we're upgrading all of that system to 14,400 volts.
Just to meet more demand in that
for
area?
Load.
Okay.
I mean, basically, the higher voltage is going to it's going to drop amperage right. and handle right. the load a lot better.
Right. It's really easy to slide into some terminology that goes right over the top
yeah,
of my
I'm
head.
Yeah, I'm trying to dumb it down
a little bit for your radio guy.
I'll tell you again, as a non-engineer, yeah. as someone who is not a lineman, having worked there 11 years, I joke when I first got to the co-op, I'd go sit in a meeting and just be listening.
Yeah.
And our CEO, who recently retired, was a former lineman and engineer.
Oh, wow.
And those guys would sit around the table and start talking. And they might as well have been talking Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't understand it. I didn't yeah. know what they were talking about. And I can tell you today, now, if I go and sit in one of those meetings, it's more like they're speaking Spanish. I still don't speak the language.
You're a little closer.
But I can understand right, a few right. words here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's best to just try to keep it simple, because somebody could really, really run away with it.
Oh, yeah. So that kind of leads into a question I didn't put on paper, so I apologize for that. But, you know, you work in and near the homes of people all the time. How do you explain some of this stuff? Because I'm sure in Coleman County, there's a million people that want to come up to your truck and like, what are you doing? Right? So how do you communicate with the community?
I think you take it one by one because yeah. it's really interesting.
I can imagine.
Just depends on the question. You know, we really try to help the customers out and the members out as much as we can.
Yeah.
Give them information that they need, and fulfill, you know, give them an answer to their questions. Depending on their questions, they can be pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. And you know, you think, I'm sure you've already come across this, but anybody at home listening, these people, if you're without power in 2018, you've lost a lot, right, as far as your keeping busy. So when you're waiting on one of you guys to show up at your house, all of a sudden you're the guy I want to talk to because I've not been able to do anything right. all day. So I'm sure you get some crazy questions.
Well, it depends on what kind of mood they're in. Some yeah. people are happy. Some people are not so happy.
Do you deal with that a lot? Do you deal with a lot of angry folks?
Not as many angry.
Yeah.
A lot of people are really appreciative of what we do, I
Good.
Feel like.
Good.
But there, on occasion, you get some. And it's, you know, I mean, like you said, we're 2018. You know, I got kids and...
Oh yeah!
Power goes out at the house, and they're like, "Dad, why aren't you leaving? I got to play my video games.
Yeah.
I turn the TV. I can't watch Netflix."
Yeah, there's a guy that lives across the street from me that's a lineman, and anytime I hear that truck crank up, I'm like, somebody's having a really bad day, right? Because it's oftentimes middle of the night right. and that kind of thing. But I mean, I've learned to have an appreciation for what you do. I think you have to spend only a few minutes in the dark to really appreciate everything that you guys do, and I appreciate you sharing the information today. Maybe this will go out there and maybe answer some of those questions, those people that may or may not have been upset if they lived on that part of 91, right? Well, when we kind of talked about the good relationship with the customers, how, I guess this goes to you, Brian, how do you maintain that? How do you keep that a priority? Because, I mean, it's easy for us to think, well, I can't get my power through anyone else. They
sure.
just kind of have me in a stranglehold.
Sure.
I'm sure that's not how you treat a customer.
No, and we realize that for most people, the only time there's two times you think about your power, and that's when you pay your power bill each month, and if the power goes out,
right?
And other than that, it's a sign of how good a job these guys do that you mostly take it for granted,
right?
That it's going to be there when you need it, whenever you flip the switch on. Our primary way of communicating with people is the Alabama Living Magazine.
Okay.
It's been published for going on 75 years in some way, shape, or form. It used to be a newspaper way back in the day, and for about the last 35, 40 years, it's been a magazine. And really, it's just it's a general, just sort of Southern lifestyle magazine, but we have about 7 pages in it every month where we can talk specifically about things that are happening at the co-op.
Okay.
And in the last 10 years, we really were on the forefront during the tornadoes of being able to communicate with members via social media. A lot of co-ops were not doing that back then, and that was our only way. I mean, the phone system was completely out.
Right.
So we were able to update people constantly on Facebook.
Oh, that's
how
cool.
Things were going. So we've grown that. In fact, our audience just passed 10,000 followers on Facebook.
That's really
last month. We've expanded that out now. We've got an Instagram, which is great. These guys are really good when they're on. You know, if there's an accident on a Saturday, again, people are out of power. They want to know what's happening. One of these guys will shoot me a picture.
No way.
Or Bonnie, who's our communication specialist, and we can post that on Instagram and Facebook, and you'd be amazed how much that takes away those angry customers, because then at least they know what's happening. And that's
it's
the biggest thing. People, when they don't know, that's when they get angry.
That's fascinating.
When they can see, okay, there was a car wreck down the road that broke a pole, and these guys are out here fixing it. You know, they had to leave their family on a Saturday afternoon to come in and get this taken care of, or 2 o'clock in the morning, or whenever it is. So we've gotten big into that, and really realizing there's different audiences there. Our older members, and most of our co-op membership tends to be a little older.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, it's getting younger.
Absolutely.
And so those older folks, we know the magazines where we need to reach them. Our younger members, they're going to go immediately to social media and want to see, get an update, and expect something to be there pretty quickly.
Oh, yes.
So we keep in contact with our dispatch center, and like I said, these guys do a good job of keeping us informed and even send us good pictures from time to
pictures
time.
Pictures for Instagram. Share. That's really neat. I never thought about that. Well, and that kind of leads into my last question. What's the best way to keep up with the co-op? Like you said, probably search for Coleman Electric Co-op on Facebook. Do you know the Instagram handle off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's just it's at Coleman EC.
Coleman EC, excellent.
That's our Instagram, yeah. And then our website, ColemanEC.com, between the website, and it's got direct links to Facebook. When there's power outages, like the storms come through just on a random Tuesday night or something, Facebook is where we're going to be updating people about what happened, and we try to update it fairly regularly as it's progressing, and let people know where our crews are at and how many people are left to be restored.
Excellent. Gentlemen, well, I appreciate you giving the time to the show and allowing Coleman Electric Co-op to be the first spotlight on Spotlight Coleman for Live 95.5. If you want to keep up with the co-op, Facebook, Instagram, of all things, I never would have imagined that, and traditionally a magazine and the website. But once again, thank you, gentlemen, Brandon, Todd, and Brian from Coleman Electric Co-op on our first Spotlight of Coleman. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, maybe some Josh and Rail. We'll be right back.
Author of The Kindness Revolution. A colleague of mine authored a book called 212, The Extra Degree. In it, he uses hot water as an example of what a little extra can mean in our lives. He explains that water is hot up until the time it reaches 211 degrees. When it hits 212 degrees, it begins to boil. When it boils, it generates steam. And with steam, you can power a locomotive. 1 degree makes that much difference. The difference in a train sitting still or moving down the tracks at high speed. Maybe this year will be a good time to notch our lives up that 1 degree. Whether it be our work, relationship, health, or any other part of our lives, that 1 degree increase in effort will lead to some giant results. It's time to get that locomotive moving. To learn more, check us out at thekindnessrevolution.net.
No longer new, but still all Cullman. We are Cullman's independent radio station, Live 95, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well Store is located in the middle of downtown Cullman, conveniently located just a block south of the courthouse. This locally owned business offers friendly, no waiting, personal service. How can it get any better than that? Well, here's how. How about the fact that they even deliver within the city limits of Cullman? You've got a sick kid? Well, what could be better than calling Medical Arts and asking them to deliver the medicine that you need? In fact, I can't think of another pharmacy that does that. They also have a large selection of food for special diets, as well as health food, oils, and supplements. Flu shots are available, too. They can be reached at 734-4933 or online at medicalartswellnessrx.com. Let Medical Arts Apothecary save your day.
Hey, this is Susan Atkinson with Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well Natural Store. We have proudly been serving Cullman and its surrounding areas for over 60 years, and we appreciate your continued business.
Attention Cullman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95cullman.com today, or visit our website, live95cullman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Cullman's independent radio.
When the morning comes and we see what we've become, in the cold light of day we're aflame in the wind, not the fire that we begun. Every argument.
And we're back. Now we're pretty close to joshing around again. I'm back staring at a microphone by myself. If you missed part of the show, or you're just now joining in, we did a little spotlight section with your communications leader and a couple of linemen from Cullman Electric Co-op. Really want to take another shot at thanking them for taking the time. I know it's probably close of the day for those guys, so to hang around and talk to me for a little while was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot about what it takes and what it involves in a disaster and your day-to-day processes here in Cullman County to deliver that light or that power that we take for granted sometimes. If you missed the interview, we plan to roll that back throughout the day, next couple of weeks. So be listening to Live 95.5 on the radio for that. Of course, if you're following us on Facebook, the Facebook Live video will be directly available after the close of this show. We're probably going to call it a night here soon. Just wanted to come back one more time and thank those guys for taking the time. And if you can think as a listenership, if you have a suggestion for anyone that you would like to spotlight like this, direct message us on Facebook or give us a call at 256-737-9505. Somebody will be keeping track of all those suggestions, and your spotlight nominee may just be shed a little light on, as Jay likes to call it. But we're gonna call it an early night. Try to wrap up everything here at the station and head back home to our families. So if you've been joining in, I thank you. This is Josh for Live 95.5.
every argument, every word we can't take back. Cause with all that has happened, I think that we both know the way that this story ends. And only for a minute, I want to change my mind. Cause this just don't feel right to me. I wanna raise your spirits. I want to see you smile. But know that means I'll have to leave. Lately, I've been thinking, I want you to be happier. I want you to be happier. Lately, I've been thinking, I want you to be happier. And the image of you being with someone else, well, it's eating me up inside. But we ran our course, we pretended we're okay. Now if we jump together, at least we can swim far away from the wreck we made. Then only for a minute, I want to change my mind. Cause this just don't feel right to me. I wanna raise your spirits. I want to see you smile. I've been thinking, I want you to be happier. I want you to be happier. Lately, I've been thinking, I want you to be happier. I want you to be happier.
Addiction.